Okay, now we're there. Welcome, and we're since we've been Gospels, this is week 30. Did you know that?
Yes.
When did you guys start this?
30 weeks ago.
Well, I mean, 30 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Smart guy.
Yeah, but I don't know.
What, in a month? Okay, but I'll figure it out. How many weeks?
There's only 52 weeks in a year, for crying out.
Yeah. So I'm just saying.
So, over half a year.
Yeah. I know that.
But that's okay, because I tell you what, I'm getting a lot out of it that I never even saw before, and it just blows my mind. So I
like it, because I mean,
happy.
This is where I started going back and going over it again. Because normally I kind of write it down.
But you
go back, and then, okay, you reread it. I'm not going to memorize all of it, but
no,
it kind
of
sinks in there a little more.
That's good. That's a very good thing. And having it in writing like this.
Yeah.
And then with the audio, in fact, so this is June 19th, 2012, and we're going to be covering Matthew 5:42 is the text today. We're being recorded, so if that's okay with you, just tell us an amen.
Amen.
Okay? And we'll just start right in then. The verse, although I have written out here verses 42 through 48, I think we'll just read the one verse that we'll be going over.
Jim, can I interrupt? What version are you using?
New King James.
I'm using King James.
Now, usually I have it written there in KJ,
yeah.
But I took it out there.
No, I'm
and that's usually what I
okay,
use.
That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Okay, so there's two different groups here, two different circumstances. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. So the response to one is to give. The response to the other is an inverted, do not turn away. Do not turn away. From you, borrow from you, do not turn away. Okay, anyhow, so let's go down to where we start. Give to him who asks you. Now, in Greek, this is, it's the use of a participle. Toe, you see right under 42 there?
Yeah.
Toe. I tun ti, ein tun ti. That's a strange word. I tun ti. Said dos. Dos is give. It's from dido. Dido me. So, that's to give. The more forgive is di. Di. Or, yeah. Di. So, the one who is... here's the translation of that. We have it in New King James as, give to him who asks you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In the Greek, it says, to the one who is asking you, I expect you to give.
Mm.
Now, the emphasis is on the last part in this case, withholding the verb. Instead of, we have a loose syntax of putting our subject.
But give what, though? Is it...
good question.
So you're going to give him something, but it may not be...
very good. Very good. With the little you said there, it shows that you're asking the right questions of this. This is very... A lot of people do not ask these kind of questions, and they think, well, they're asking me to give them something, and I'm obligated to give it to them
right.
as a Christian. And that's what most people, how most people interpret this verse. Believe it or not.
I believe it.
Then they shy away from it because they think, well, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Right, so then they don't end up giving anything.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know?
Exactly.
So they don't give, you know, what they want or the other thing they should be giving them.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. Okay, so here's the way it goes. The one who is the indirect object. Now, I'm stressing indirect object. The one who is asking you.
That's the indirect object?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To the one, and there is to or for the one who is asking you. Now, here's where the imperative comes from. The command. I expect you to give. But rightfully said, it doesn't tell us what to give. Now, I said, well, it's just wide open. And it's referring to whatever they ask you for. Is it? The immature response, and I call it immature response, to this imperative is to suppose that whatsoever one might ask a Christian to give, the believer is under the obligation to give them exactly what they ask for. This idea is far from the truth. As an example, how does Jesus respond to the disciple who asks? Maybe she was a disciple. Let's give it that latitude. But she was definitely the disciple's mother. And he said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, grant that those two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, we are able. Now he shifts his question to the son.
Yeah. Yeah.
Away from the mother, because she gives the question to give, and she wanted to give this privilege of sitting on one on the right hand and the other on the left in his kingdom. And he addresses them for this. And they said, how they respond, we are able. Wow. Uh-huh. Okay. Oh yeah? Really? So he says to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. Interesting.
Yeah.
But it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, without any more comment about that verse, another thing this verse does point out is the fact that not everything is ours to give to someone who requests it.
Yeah. Oh.
See?
Yeah.
And that is something that enters into it. And sometimes our own pride may lead us into assuming that we can give anybody anything they want, and that our response should be limited to that. In other words, they ask us what we want and we do everything that we can to get it for them. They're asking, we're delivering. I think it is our pride that keeps us on that track.
Yeah.
I'll explain why. The fact is that even Jesus was limited as to what he could give during his earthly ministry. And it was limited to that which was of the will of the Father. So, if you would ask Jesus, just as she did, for this privilege, it wasn't his, and he reminded her, it wasn't his to give that.
Uh-huh.
It didn't belong to him.
Uh-huh.
And you don't really see much of that in Scripture pertaining to Jesus, do you? That he was limited in that way. But he was always limited to the will of the Father. He
yeah.
limited himself
yeah.
to the will of the Father. Now here's another example of not having all resources at our disposal, whether or not our pride will allow us to admit it. You know, a lot of people that I was just thinking, there are many people who are willing to give something that belongs to someone else to you.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Government does a pretty good job.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, you want that? All right.
All right, there you go.
You
want it, you have the right to have it. Okay, we'll facilitate that. Don't worry. We'll take it from somebody else and give it to you. Because we don't really produce anything ourselves. Boy, no truer words could be spoken. Whew, I got to dwell on that for a second.
Yeah.
But if you go into a store, let's say you go into a restaurant, and you say, could you give me some extra, I don't know, what would you ask for extra that was costly? Extra
piece of extra cheese?
Yeah, a piece of extra cheese or whatever,
yeah.
you know, for all of us.
Yeah.
And the waiter who wants the tip says, oh, no problem, I'll take care of it. And he goes back and he gets it and he gives it to you. Now, what really happened there? Was the cheese his to give?
No.
Hey, James, hiya. Hiya.
Sorry, I'm late.
That's okay.
Hey, dude, you do. Looks good, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Looks.
Change up a little bit. You're looking good. I always look better with a haircut, too. And you, gotta get on you next.
Yeah,
yeah. They tried to get him at the barber shop.
Well, I'm up next time.
They did.
He wouldn't go for it.
We'll get you next time.
Yeah,
I was just kidding.
No, he does need to get cut. Yeah,
that just makes it easier.
James, we're at the top of page 2 right now.
Okay.
It's funny. I knew you were coming. I didn't know you were coming.
Mm.
I printed that out. Normally I wouldn't have printed that out, and I put it in the chair.
Yeah, well, I like your session. So I thought.
Yeah, well, but the thing is, I had nobody queued me up.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty...
I like that.
Yeah, right. So there you go. We're down to we're asking it, you know, what happens when somebody, you go and they give you something that belongs to someone else and do it so graciously. It wasn't theirs to give in the first place.
No.
The sweetheart, they call it sweethearting in the retail trade.
Oh.
When somebody is working in a store and they give you some of the goods in the store and say, don't worry about it, for no charge,
uh-huh.
they're giving you what belongs to the owner.
Right. Oh, I see. So there's no understanding between, like,
yeah,
if the owner
yeah.
knew about it,
yeah.
like, what are you doing?
Right,
you know,
right,
okay.
right, exactly. And sometimes young clerks will do that for their friends when they come into the store. They want to make an impression, but they want to make an impression at somebody else's. Do they reach in their pocket and buy it for their friend? No, they provide it by stealing it from their own, from the owner of the store, and saying, "Oh, don't worry about that one. Pay for this one, and I'll just put this in the bag." And that's called sweethearting. There's a name for it in the retail trade. Okay, anyhow. So, obviously, this is how I'm talking about here. Now, here's another example of not having all resources at our disposal, whether or not our pride will allow us to admit it. Acts 3:6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. Well, you know the story. Okay? Can anybody explain the story?
I thought I understand the Sabbath at the steps leading into the temple.
Amen.
And this person was crippled or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he approached Peter.
Good.
And then the rest of this transpired. And then, rise up and walk. In other words, he told him to rise up and walk, and immediately this man rose up and walked.
Yes.
This is the part where they were just wanted to be in a shadow, and then certain handkerchiefs and stuff is another part there. I don't know if it was right near this. Near Peter. Well, I don't remember, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But if a shadow would fall across.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, that's something else. But he was there daily to collect alms.
The guy on the temple.
The guy at
the temple gate.
And so what happened is that they were on their way into the temple, and this fellow asked them, and Peter looked at the man, and the man interprets that as, oh boy.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming.
Yeah.
I've got the money. And Peter then says this, and silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. Now, how is this normally translated? I can tell you one thing. I know that I've heard people talk about this verse before, and they are under the understanding that Peter was dirt poor. That he had no money whatsoever as at his disposal. Because he says, silver and gold I do not have.
Sorry, I got to stop laughing. There's this horrible movie. I mean, it's a heretical movie, but there's this one scene where this guy, he's like, oh, I'm sort of ex-leper. And there's like an ex-leper, and you see like, and Jesus healed me. You know, and then he said, I just want to be like, he wouldn't go back to being a leper or whatever, but he still wanted to get paid. He was like, well, I wish I could just be kind of lame in one leg for, you know, a couple of days during the week or something like that. But it was just funny because he was healed.
I got you.
Yeah, but
it's a reality in India, by the way.
You know, but it's like, oh my gosh, I'm healed. What am I going to do now?
I'm
not making a joke about it, but it's like, oh my God, what do I do?
In the United States.
Well, I struggle with a lot of that too. I'm like, all right, you know, I had these problems. Now I'm gonna be on that. Woo!
Many people, they talk about maybe their husband or their wife is having a problem, and they've been living with it for like, you know, 40 years or whatever, and sometimes they don't know what they would do if their husband or wife was cured.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's a personality type.
And it's like, oh my gosh. Just imagine. They don't really want them cured because they're used to the way things are.
Right.
And things would change so radically.
Balance.
Yeah. That is, but it's a reality. You're right. Well, does anyone
he's healing the man, but he's, I don't know, when you say he's looking at him, maybe he's looking at him saying, you know what, I know you can walk, that kind of thing. I mean, there's more to it, obviously, but that's how I kind of see it, when he's looking into the guy, he's like, and the guy oh my, you know, and the spirit, you know, and gets that realization that I can, you know, I don't have to do this. I don't know.
Well, do you think he healed him or not?
I believe he healed him, yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, the whole, I don't know, miracle thing sometimes is, I mean, what's a miracle? I mean,
yeah.
You can change your mind, and that's a miracle for something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to be you know, walking across water and stuff to be a genuine miracle. Because, I mean, look how hard it is to change someone's mind if they don't want to. It's impossible, you know?
I know. Which is easier to
easier to walk across the water.
It reminds me of some. Yeah, that's true.
So.
Now, the interesting thing about this verse is that it does not actually say, silver and gold I do not have. Well, what do you mean? You just read that. No, it doesn't say that. It does not say, silver and gold I do not have.
Hmm.
Those are not the words in Greek.
Oh.
Okay, here. While Peter is not trying to be sly about what he might give the one who is asking for silver or gold, because asking for alms is asking for... That would be the top of the heap, wouldn't it? Silver and gold for
mm-hmm.
alms. He states that silver and gold is definitely not ook. That's the door closed and locked.
Mm-hmm.
Is definitely not at his disposal.
Oh.
So that he might simply give it freely to anyone who asks for it.
Mm-hmm.
While Peter may in fact have had access to precious metal coins, obviously, he had not been granted the authority to give it away. Even for needy causes, that is, on his own whim. So when he asked for these things, it wasn't like Peter didn't have access to silver and gold. And he wasn't lying, and it wasn't a tricky kind of sly thing that he was doing. But he says that he does not have this at his disposal. He doesn't have the authority over those things. Just like Jesus said he didn't have the... Effectively, it's a parallel.
Oh.
He didn't have the authority over who is going to sit at his right hand or left. That was up to the Father. So Peter is saying the same thing. That's up to somebody else. That's not up to me. It's a legitimate response. But it doesn't imply that Peter was poor and that we ought to have every pastor and every person who is in ministry should be poor.
Yeah.
You see? And a lot of people think that. They think that if you ever read the story of...
Well, yeah, but I mean, a lot of the early Christians, you know, they thought the imminent second coming, you know, I mean, a lot of them, you know, you don't know the part, but a lot of them just kind of quit their jobs.
Yeah,
just
true.
You know, waiting around for... Right. And these other people were paying for, and they were like, what are you, you know, what are you doing? You know?
Yeah.
So I just...
So many have been tricked by their own pride into justifying one immoral act. What if Peter said, well, just a minute, and I'll go into the hoppers, or to the coffers, and get you a gold coin because you asked me for it. Now, if he had done that, that would have been unjustified. He was overstepping his bounds in order to do that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, but I say because there's so much, there's more in the, maybe he doesn't need, just because that guy's asking for that, maybe he doesn't need to give him that money. So it would be immoral for him to give him that money because that's
not... I'm just saying hypothetically,
okay.
If this has been action that he did, and he actually gave him that money, not having the authority to do it, that would be wrong.
Right.
But we would look at it and at the end result and say, well, the end justifies the means because now you've given the guy exactly what he wanted, and that's nice. That's good of you.
Mm.
That's to be celebrated, right?
Yeah.
Now, some people think that way.
Mm.
They think that the end justifies the means. However you get there, as long as it's for a good cause, do it. But what I'm saying is, by our own pride, we sometimes justify ourselves of committing one immoral act in order to accomplish another moral act by using resources outside our own authority to give to others. Again, I'm repeating back over what I'm saying. You don't give other stuff other people's stuff away without their knowledge or authority or approval or permission. Only to then justify their actions with the rationale of appealing to the excuse that they had done ill only in order to perform a greater good. So it's an ethical question there. Now, here's what it says here. I do not have, and the wording in Greek is, you can see the three words there, right? Ouk, huparge, and moi. Ook is no, definitely no. Huparke is the verb that means to be at one's disposal.
Oh.
It's made up of two words. Arco, see the next to the last line? Arco, rule, govern.
Yeah.
Arco is to rule or govern. Archangel, arch enemy, high, ruling. And hupa is a preposition meaning of, by means of, or at the hands of, or under the authority of, because it means under. In this case, it would be under, rule under the authority of. In other words, it wasn't under his authority to do this, to give away silver and gold. And it wasn't that he didn't have it. You see what I mean? Like it didn't exist. He didn't have the authority to use it in this way. Okay, so literally it would mean then it is not at the disposal of me. It's not at my disposal.
Yeah.
Okay. Now then he says, but what I do have, I give you. And this is something else then. Here's how this sentence outlines. I am giving to or for you, that's the indirect object, I'm for your benefit, to you, or for your benefit, to you, this thing. And then it says, I have which.
Yeah.
Which referring to this thing. And that's how it diagrams, for those interested in sentence diagramming.
Uh-huh. People do crosswords, you do sentence diagramming. Spare time.
Yeah. So here's the deal. The commandment is, the imperative is to give.
Yeah.
But not necessarily to give what the person is asking for. Well, now, what this does, if you think about it, is if somebody asks you for this, a particular thing, instead of just saying, forget about it, it opens up the time to consider, what do I have access in my authority given to me that I have or I hold? That's why I wanted to show you this. The second line here, I have which. Something which I have or I hold. Meaning I have authority over this. What do I have? What can I do? What can I give you that will be helpful? It may not be what you ask for, but it opens the door to even creative problem solving. You know, like, to think about it. Give it some thought. Otherwise, you just say no, and it's done with. You see the point? And this is what's going on here. I don't know if I got this. I don't know if I included those kinds of words in here or not. I just don't think that I did. Well, it comes up here, though, in the second part, Matthew 5:42b. It definitely comes up in here. So it, while there are two different circumstances and examples, there is one truth that's being shown here, revealed. And Matthew 42b says, "And from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away." What is the picture you see, if you put it in words, of this scenario? Somebody wants to borrow something from you. Can you describe the events as they unravel? Somebody.
Well, if someone's got their hand out, they're asking you for something, and I'm looking at the second part, and
it wants to borrow from you. That's what it says. Borrow. Can I borrow your whatever?
Was it different back then? Just out of curiosity, borrowing?
No.
Same?
No.
Same? Wasn't the same thing. Loan.
Okay.
Would you loan me your... Can I borrow your lawnmower?
Right, right. Maybe you get it back if you want.
Well, there's the deal. Yeah. There. See, that's, do not turn away. Now, this is really tricky. It's not meant to be tricky. It's tricky in the translation. It's tricky because it's a different language. First, let me explain some things. First, turn away. Who is going to be turned away by this encounter?
The person wanting to borrow.
Well, yeah.
That's what I mean. That seems to be crystal clear. And from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away.
Uh-huh.
They come to you wanting to borrow, and so the command is, don't turn them away. Now, what is the implication of that? If you don't turn them away...
Well, you're going to give them what they want to borrow with.
Okay, all right.
So you know that it's not just saying, forget it, and walking away, but it's you're going to engage that person just like you said before with maybe something else that they can use or what have you, you know?
Okay, let's see. So what happens here is this is actually the idea of turn away. I'll go right down to IE. That is perhaps this reference to an immediate response of being turned away as being repulsed by having been asked to make loan of something. It's actually in the passive voice for the one who is being asked, passive. Don't be turned away. So it's not referring to the one who's asking. It's referring to the one who's being asked not to turn. You're not supposed to turn away. And the implication, do you understand what I'm trying to say? In other words, and the aorist passive, it's aorist passive, so it would denote turning away in a single act. So it would be like somebody asks to loan it, and you turn your back on them, say no, and walk away. You are the one that walks away. You're not saying, get out of my face, you know, turn them away. It's you're turned away because they asked you. You see the difference?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Contrary to what appears, it does not refer to the dismissal of the one who asks, but to a weaker position in which the one being asked is driven off by the request without giving due consideration to the problem at hand.
Oh.
So they ask you for a loan, but instead of turning away and just being repulsed by it, you pause and consider, see, it's the same thing as before. What the command seems to focus on giving room for the possibility of coming up with a creative solution to the problem that one is facing, that the one who is asking for the loan is facing, and not avoiding the issue altogether. Same as before. It's interesting how these two are tied together, and I never saw that before. Never saw that they were of the same order. That by having a different response, you dwell, you're not just immediately going away. You're hanging in there to see what you can do.
Yeah.
If you don't have what they're asking for, you think, what do I have? And the what I have could be anything that had been given to you.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah, this is just rocking. I'm all over it. Yeah. No, I gotta just wait. I can wait till the record. Okay.
So a better translation would be, and may you not be turned away from him who wants to borrow for himself from you. Because it's a middle voice, actually.
Uh-huh.
Now, the implication is that we should not run away from thinking about the problem that the one who is asking is facing, but do what we can to be of help. This is an extended principle of the first of the previous part of the verse, to give what we can. The most obvious thing we can give is from the gifts or gift we've been given by the Lord. This is what Peter did.
Yeah.
Did he come up with the ability to heal?
No.
No, it was given to him.
Given to him.
Yeah, yeah.
So why wouldn't it be easy for us to give something that has been given to us?
Mm.
See what I mean? It's not really. It's been given to us, so why should it be any big deal for us to give to somebody else? But it doesn't have to be the thing that they're asking for. If it legitimately...
That's an important thing you said, though, because we are given stuff and we... from different, you know, or whatever,
right,
but...
Right.
So I don't know, God might be going, all right.
Now,
I'm thinking, obviously, there's other things that should be given. I mean,
yeah,
the majority
and the greater
case,
implication
the
of this is if it's been given to us and we fail to give it to somebody else, pass it on. To them who has, it will be given, more will be given.
Mm.
When you give it away, God replaces it in abundance.
He'll give a man a fish and then teach him the
fish. Well, in a way, but in this case, it's you were given it and you failed to give it to somebody else, so you're not going to get it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't give it away and trust God to replace it, God's not going to be interested in... Because the purpose of that is to go beyond you.
Absolutely.
So there you have it.
Absolutely.
You see?
And then what's going to happen? You're going to be given more.
Yeah, you give it away, God will give, and that's what's called a blessing.
And you just get more of it. That's crazy.
And you get more. You can't give it away.
But
and
you're
just,
afraid, but we're afraid
and
to.
And when
know?
The scripture says you can't outgive God, that's exactly what it means. You've been given it, your salvation. Give it away.
Right.
Give it to somebody else. It's not going to be any skin off your nose. You were given it in the first place. And this is the principle. I've never seen it with the clarity that I see it here. So every opportunity that somebody asks you for something is an opportunity to exercise a gift so you can't, well, I can't do that, but you know, the Lord has bless me with the ability to do this or that. Peter, if he were to verbalize this, he'd say, you know, I can't get my hands on silver or gold for you. I don't have the authority. We got it in the church, but I can't give it to you. But I can. But I've been given this. I hold this.
Yeah.
I have this. This is my possession that I can give to you. It was given to me. The ability to heal. Whap, and he does it. He utilizes his gift. Strange that it should be called that, isn't it?
Yeah.
And a charismatic is supposed to be a person who is charisma, who has been gifted. That's what it means.
Yeah, but then you get into the whole thing of, okay, so you're going to give that, but now are they going to receive it?
Well, now that's on them.
You know, well, that's what I'm saying. You know, that's
on them.
That's what I'm saying now.
Right.
It's a whole nother, you know.
Steve has a story to tell on that one. He was in, we were at a conference in, where was it? Somewhere out west, Midwest. And, I can't remember at the moment. And somebody said said that he was homeless. And he said, give me some money. Yes, because you were all Christians coming out of the conference. Mm-hmm. So he was operating on the principle, you have to give it to me because I ask you and you're a Christian. That's his interpretation. Not Steve, but this other guy. And he said, what do you want me to do? And he says, I'm homeless. He didn't say what he wanted, actually. He said, help me, I'm homeless. And he said, so Steve, not trying to be a smart aleck, but he says, I can't buy you a home. That's the same as saying I have no silver or gold. I can't buy you a home, but I can buy you a meal. See what he was saying? What he could do. And he was offering to take him over to, he pointed to a restaurant. Let me take you over there and buy you a meal. And he said, no, you don't understand, I'm homeless. And what he wanted is he wanted booze.
Yeah.
And that's what he was insisting on. He would not accept anything but money for booze. He says, I'm not hungry, I'm homeless. That's the way he put it. He says, I'm not hungry, I'm homeless. And he would only accept money for booze.
Well, that's obvious when you say a statement like that, yeah.
Yeah.
What?
So, that's, sometimes it's not going to be received.
Some of that story a while ago.
Yeah, that's weird. It's weird. It's really stuck in all our lives, in our minds. Okay, so, now here in Romans 5:5 we read, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Well, we don't have the authority to give somebody else the Holy Spirit, right?
That's right.
So we say that's something we can offer.
We can ask, right?
We can ask and we can lead them in the gospel, and that would result in the gift of the Holy Spirit. So somewhere between that and sharing the gospel is something that we have been given that we can at least try to share, whether they would receive it or not, or see it as even pertinent, because many people don't. They think, well, they say, you know, well, I'm not, I need something else. I don't need that. I don't need salvation.
I know you understand.
And we know that salvation first is what everybody needs. 1 Corinthians 1:4, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. So we've been given grace so we can behave graciously. So that's something we can give. Gracious behavior.
What page are we on?
4.
That's what I thought, but I don't see what
we're reading. Third verse, Ephesians 4:7. Okay. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Again, we've been given grace. I'm just pointing out the variety of things that we've been giving that are intangible.
That's right.
But they're gifts.
That's right.
And they're useful gifts. They're helpful gifts. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Now, if somebody's in need and they need a sound mind to help them, maybe you've got that. Sound thinking. And so you can offer suggestions. That's a good thing. That's a gift. Do you have that ability? Have you tried this? Have you tried that? I suggest you do this. Maybe this will.
But even so, even if you plant the seed with that person, I mean, mm-hmm. Advice is what it's worth. Nothing, it's just somebody blah, blah, blah. But like you say, sometimes we'll offer something, then we'll kind of get upset because we're not received, and then we're like, oh, well, I'm kind of on you, that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm just thinking because of when you give stuff, it's funny. It's like you talk about like intention, like, oh, hold the door open for somebody or something. It always sticks in my head in New York City, holding the door open just for this girl, She comes out, she's like, excuse you, and I...
Really? So yeah. She was rude about you holding the door for her. That's amazing.
But it's, I let somebody go in traffic and I expect them to wave. Then I'm like, then I think about it and I'm like, I'm not really giving, It's like, what I'm saying? It's like, I want the satisfaction, but so I'm not really giving with, graceful or with an open heart.
Yeah,
I am looking for something. Some self...
That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I don't say a lot, and I'm trying to...
If we're honest, we would see that this happens to us a lot.
It does. But that's what you talk about.
We give something and we expect something in return.
That's right.
So is it really giving?
But that's right. But what did Jesus do? I mean, he gave it all, and we're out constantly,
And they were spitting at him on the cross.
Constantly screwing it up. We're constantly...
While he's saving the universe.
Forgetting it, right.
All creation. People are spitting at him. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is...
It's a gift.
Acts 8:20. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. Mm. Wow. Can't buy it. 1 Corinthians 7:7. For I wish that all men were even as I myself. But each one has his own gift from God. One in this manner, another in that. So everyone who's a believer has been given at least one gift, is the way this is translated. The implication of this is at least one gift, because it says here. Maybe many, but at least one. So, I mean, there's no excuse for us not to use the gift that we've been given, the ability that we've been given from God. It's not called a talent, it's called a gift. And every believer is gifted. That's extraordinary. That means in that particular area of spiritual life, that one thing is they are particularly adept at, because they're empowered by God for that. And there is a purpose for that, to utilize that gift for the good of the body, at least for the body of Christ. So we can't say, well, I'm not gifted that way. Our job is to find out how we can use that gift in order to serve others. Mm-hmm. When they're asking for things that we can't even deliver on, we can still, they're asking. So we give them something. So are we obligated to give them what they ask for? No. Are we obligated to give them something? Yes. And the easiest thing, and the most sensible thing, is to give them something we've been given. I mean, it does make sense. It does make sense. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. 1 Peter 4:10, each one has received a gift. Here we go. as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Wow, you couldn't put it any straightforward, more straightforward than that.
Yes.
So this would even be when you're not even asked.
Mm.
But you don't force it on anybody, of course, your gift. Do you know what your gifts are? That's an important thing. And sometimes, from time to time, I think Mary has done this, had gone through the gifts and tried to identify for mm-hmm. somebody. And there's tests you can take on that, too. You know, profile. Oh, yeah, okay. So take that seriously. It's not like doing a what are your characteristics as a scorpion or a cancer or a, you know, Virgo or Pisces. not the same. As each one has received a gift, minister to it. Okay, minister it. And James 1:17, every good gift and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Ephesians 4:8, therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. 1 Corinthians 14:12, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. And that's pretty much it. But I thought you'd like that different slant on these well-known verses.
Mm-hmm.
It awakened in me some aspects that I had never considered before.
Yeah.
You want me to turn this off?
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
No, not at all.